I'm going to send satanic Morse code messages through my coffee cup. Butterscotch
shenanigans. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coffee with Butterscotch, the official podcast of Butterscotch Shenanigans. We are a three-brother video game studio. I'm Seth.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Sam.
And Sam is back from the hospital. But before we get into all that...
There's some stuff there.
There's some stuff we got. You can find our games at games.bscotch.net. So if you haven't played our games yet, stop listening and go play our games.
Mm-hmm. And then come back and continue listening.
And then rejoin us. We also have a great community over at forums.bscotch.net. So hop in there if you haven't yet. And we also take user-submitted questions toward the end of the podcast. And those are submitted through podcast.bscotch.net. So go to all those things simultaneously, and we'll then get back to us afterwards. Oh, and before we get started, this show is not for chids, which I believe is children plus kids combined in sort of like a mutated centaur-like creature.
It's horrifying.
All right, so Sam. Sam's back from the hospital. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So, I went, and now I have a different immune system than when I left.
How is it? I mean, is it compared to your last one?
You know, I think...
How do you rate it?
You know, it's like a... It's 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10?
Right now. Well, the only thing it's done so far is given me an invisible itchy rash on my back.
That's good.
I think it's good. The doctor said that's good. Great. They said that means that it's alive.
Yeah.
Which is good.
And I think the alternative is like your leg comes off.
Yeah, pretty sure. It's like...
Like, well, those are the two things that could happen.
It's like being a lizard.
Yeah.
They'll pull off one of your limbs and it'll grow back because of the stem cells.
Because it's the stem cells.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So it's like that scene in Spider-Man. Or not seen the whole movie of Spider-Man.
Yeah. where all of his limbs are removed throughout the movie. And then he grows them all back.
And then he no longer has cancer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which movie was that? That was the second one.
Yeah. I don't know.
So I have, I have new blood now. I don't have very much of it, though. So.
Yeah, Sam's getting really winded just from just general existence type stuff.
So staircases are a journey that are met at the end by the prize of sitting down for a few minutes.
Yeah, watching Sam go up a staircase, it's like seeing Frodo take the ring to Mount Doom. It's like, there's weeping at the end. And
it's a celebratory adventure every time.
it's pretty crazy. But that's about it.
Yep.
And the hospital stay was good. No crazy sickness.
Yeah, nothing really happened in there. I was trapped in there. And I've been now I take 25 pills a day. That's my pill regimen for the next foreseeable future.
Yeah, you should see this. He's got like a, you know, those like each day of the week pill box things that you see elderly folk carrying around. Yeah. Sam has one of those that just like blows those out of the water.
I got 7x4. It's like the Armani.
Yeah, so each week, it's like a plate. It's like a plate of pills. So each week he's got a big 28 slot. Mm. It's crazy.
It takes like 20 minutes to fill it.
Yeah.
It's an adventure.
And it takes only a week to eat them all. Normally, when somebody goes through this, it can be a lot worse.
Yeah, well, so they were really surprised because nothing happened to me in there. I tried to explain to them that nothing was going to happen and that they should just let me go, but they didn't listen. It's kind of like when you're in jail and you're trying to plead your innocence to the officer, and he's like, sorry, we gotta...
You're in jail, so you must not be innocent.
Exactly. Yeah. So
you are kind of in jail in this, in that context.
Yeah, I mean, the nurses were all great and super cool people and all that. But, you're still trapped there, and then people come by and bother you every couple minutes.
With needles.
Various things. But it was good. I mean, I played a lot of Skyrim.
Sweet.
Got some gaming gifts from one of our beloved Biscotch ID people. Shout out to Racing for the Finish.
Woo!
Is that where you got that Mario gif? Where did that come from?
No.
Gifts.
Oh, gifts.
But I will put that Mario gif up.
Yeah.
That cracked me up.
Yeah, we'll put that up on the blog post.
Spent way too much time reading, probably.
Yeah, that's a problem. A lot of people have that problem.
Yeah.
It's an addiction.
Some Stoic philosophy, which is always good. If anybody wants to ever discuss Seneca hit me up.
Yeah, but then because of all this, you were out of the hospital, but you weren't able to come to Pixel Pop Festival.
Correct. True. So, yeah, I can't really be in the public for also a while because all of you are dirty peasants and I can't be touched by you.
Yeah, everybody's diseasing they're all over each other all
the
time.
We had this discharge class where this nurse sits you down.
That's like when they let you out of the hospital, not like a squirting fluids.
Not having to discharge fluids. Which I could do because I have a pipe in my chest that leads to my heart. But
we can all discharge fluids with the right attitude.
That's true.
The wrong attitude.
This person sits you down and you basically ask them, you know, you say, oh, here's like my normal list of activities. And then they say, you can't do any of those. It's basically what their job is to tell you you can't do it.
So they're like a dungeon master for your life.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, can I cast this spell now?
No. Like, no. Nah, it's not in the rule book.
Every roll is a one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. So I was like, oh, we have Pixel Pop coming up, and I might get out on Friday. And they said, yeah, no. Not happening. Not happening, buddy.
Well, so Adam and I had to carry the torch, the butter torch.
Yeah.
It's a piece of wood soaked in butter lit on fire.
It's surprisingly good.
We bring it to every event. Usually results in deaths.
It's a nice piece of sycamore.
Yeah. So we brought our sycamore butter stick over to Pixel Pop.
You forgot what it's like. To hand me around.
We brought that over to Pixel Pop Festival. Pixel Pop Festival is... Did we talk about that in the last podcast? I don't think so.
Well, we mentioned... Wait, I guess no, because we didn't do a podcast last week. But the one before, we did mention that we were doing
Pixel it. Pop, yeah.
And that we were giving a talk. Yeah. But I think at that time, we didn't know what we were going to talk about.
Yeah. So we talked about... We had a packed house of... Probably 30 people. I don't know.
Maybe 50.
It was a super
easily
pack.
1,000 people.
It was well over the entire state.
5,000 people. I don't know.
And our talk was it was about building a game studio. So we kind of
from scratch, like hipsters.
From scratch, yeah.
It's the only way.
Yeah, and we talked about just some of our philosophies and stuff we've learned and pitfalls that you might come across. And I think Living the Nerd Life, the website.
Mm-hmm.
They recorded it for us, and so we'll put a video up on there. But I think
whenever it appears,
I think we did an okay job because we got a message from somebody who was at our talk saying that
now they're going to start a studio.
Yeah, that they were inspired to finally bite the bullet and do it. So that's cool when that kind of thing happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And otherwise, what there were 30 games demoed at Pixel Pop Festival. Ranging.
Including board games. There were board games, card games.
Board games, video games, card games. Ranging from, I just made this prototype 8 minutes ago, to I've been working on this game for 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had, there was a lot of very, I'll just, there's a big range of quality.
Mm-hmm.
But
true fact.
But there was some really cool stuff. So including Pass the Buck.
Yeah.
Which is... This is a card game that's going to be on Kickstarter soon.
Eventually.
In the next probably couple weeks. It's actually by a friend of ours, Carol Mertz, and it's a hilarious game where you try to move up the corporate ladder by offloading your work onto other people.
So it's a perfect mirror of corporate reality.
So it's like you have different things that you need to get done that's kind of like come into your inbox. And there are jobs for various departments, and then you have to try to palm those off onto people, but you don't know what anybody else is supposed to be doing at the company.
And nobody knows what you're supposed to be doing.
Nobody knows what you're supposed to be doing, but you know what your job is, but you don't want to tell anybody because then they'll start giving you stuff to do, right? So it's kind of like everybody's lying about their job, and whoever can clear off all their work off their plate gets promoted.
To CEO, right?
The goal is to move up the corporate ladder until you hit CEO. So it's like a really hilarious kind of a tongue-in-cheek, poking fun at corporate America kind of thing, which we all can get behind,
yep.
I think. So that's called Pass the Buck. So keep an eye out for that. What else happened?
What else did happen? You got back from vacation.
I went to Colorado.
You were gone for like 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gone. I hiked up a mountain and down it as well.
That's good.
So we went to Colorado. We went to Rocky Mountain National Park. We went up some mountains. We went up this place called Trail Ridge Road. which is this crazy road that starts at 7,000 feet and then ends at 12,000 feet elevation. It's really hard to breathe up
there. There's nothing under it, though. It's just
Yeah, that's why it's so crazy.
It's like a rainbow.
Probably in a small Cessna.
Yeah, probably the hardest part is getting to the start point.
Yeah.
With your car.
Rainbow Road.
Yeah, it's a rainbow road. Do you get put up there by a little flying creature that has a fishing pole?
Is there a Lakitu involved?
Yeah, actually,
fishes you out of the...
Yeah, now that you mention it. I didn't notice at the time.
It was a gentle ride, I guess.
But, yeah. But that's pretty much exactly what happened. The other downside is, like, when you get, you know, when you get to the end, that 12,000 foot spot, it's pretty likely that you'll be hit by a blue shell and fly off.
Yeah.
So we did have that.
Yeah.
That did happen.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. But anyway, let's, you want to just jump into some questions?
We didn't talk about crash lands yet, you maniac.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we haven't done a podcast in 2 weeks.
True fact.
So we've just been crushing it. We did a playthrough, full Savannah playthrough,
yep.
Which you guys got further along than I did.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
What do you think?
It's great.
It was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I got totally through. I played in completionist style, and I hadn't actually seen... So Sam has been working on all the story stuff and quests and all that, and so I hadn't actually seen any of it. And so I played completionist, and then also I had to, you know, figure out actually what the game was all about. And it took me 20 hours to get through.
That's the first third.
To get through the...
That's just slowing his balls ass.
Just the first third of the game. and then Sam took 9 hours.
Yeah, I also didn't read any of the quest text because I wrote all of it and I'm tired of reading it.
Yeah.
Which actually...
Which makes it hard to then edit and debug.
Yes. but yeah, well, I will say though, so the way we designed the quest system, is you do have to read the dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's an important part of the game because
you don't just get a bunch of bullet points.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of games that you may play where it's like you talk to a guy and you're like, whatever, shut the hell up, accept quest, and then somewhere in your UI it'll just be like, kill 8 boars
in this location.
Yeah,
yeah. And then you open up your map and there's a very clearly marked like area where you know there's going to be boars or whatever.
Yeah.
So instead of that, we'll have like the NPCs will have a conversation with you and they'll talk about some problem they have, and then when you open up your quest log, instead of it showing like a laundry list checklist thing,
it shows you the dialogue.
Yeah, it's a recollection of the
it's
chat.
Like a text message situation.
Yeah.
So you have your dialogue versus their dialogue, and then you can kind of suss out again what it was you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And the recap stuff pretty good, so you won't ever be like, what?
Yeah, it shouldn't. It's not confusing.
Yeah.
But it does lead to some interesting things. Like, there are a lot of times where it's like we don't display what the reward is going to be. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the NPC will tell you what the reward is. Yeah. They'll be like, hey, if you give me this thing, I got some like good candies for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you get in my van.
Yeah.
Quest accepted.
Van down by the river quest.
But
which
then,
you never come back from.
Nope.
And so sometimes there's kind of a gamble aspect. Which is actually, I think, cooler because then it's sort of like it's more true to life. Because,
yeah,
like, if you help somebody, you don't know whether it's going to pay off immediately or if it'll ever pay off.
Yep.
Sometimes it's more of a long run thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also, I mean, they're delivering little lore snippets. So you're kind of learning about the world. And, you know, most all of them send you to various exotic locales. Yeah. So
yes,
without them, you wouldn't really know where these things are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and because the extra boss fights in there, because the main bad guy is Hugo Duco.
Mm-hmm. Hugo Duco,
who used to be Q. We talked about that the last time. So Hugo Duco, you meet him all the way through the game. You fight him a bunch of times, and he's, you know, the main bad guy that you have to kill. But we also have in each biome 3 other bosses
mm-hmm.
that you get to kill, and each one of those is basically kind of optional. They're super hard. They drop really awesome loot. That the only way to get that loot is through the boss, and
they have,
the
and they have these there, quest chains.
Yeah, it's by these quest chains that are sort of detached from the main quest line, so that it's in your best interest to go like actually go interact with NPCs and figure out what they're up to and what they want you to do.
Yeah, and I was intrigued because there was a quest where I was showing it to Sam because some guy he asked me to do something that was like really crazy in terms of like how much resources it was going to take to do it, and he didn't say why. He was just like, I really need, or he said, like, he explained why he needed this done in terms of, like, what it was going to do for him, but he never offered any kind of compensation or anything. And so I had this quest sitting in my quest log for a little while because I was like, I don't know if I want to help this guy.
Seems like a lot of work.
So then I brought it up to Sam, and I was like, man, shouldn't this guy give me something? And Sam's like, that's how you get to fight Barry, which is one of the crazy side... Like, that's like the start of one of the side quests. So,
long story short, check your entitlement, people. Yeah. Check your entitlement at the door.
Do yeah. all the quests, because some of them lead to some super secret stuff that you would just never see otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we ended up with a huge to-do list.
It's about 300 items.
About 300 things to do to improve the game.
But although, most of them are small.
They're almost all like 3 to 5 minute things.
Yeah.
But on top of that, I mean, there wasn't really anything super wrong with the game.
Yeah, it all felt great.
So all these little changes are just like, you know, they're those little things that add up, like quality of life things and polish and stuff like that.
Well, the one big system, I guess the only big change we're making to like game systems and mechanics is the buff debuff system.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is now really cool. It used to be, when Sam and I finished playing it, we kind of both finished and we were like, potions seem mostly not very interesting. And so Sam was like, what if we turn it into more of a buff debuff system like in Terraria?
Yes. Yeah. We split battle into more of a preparation, there's a preparation phase where you're sort of like, you know, you're in your home base, you're doing like some jumping jacks to pump yourself up and chugging some elixirs.
Chugging protein shakes.
And then you go fight stuff. And the problem was before that all the potions were active use things, and you only have 4 of these action slots. So of course, if you want to be fully prepared for a battle, potion-wise and defense-wise, it would require sort of taking out your really cool offensive abilities, like maybe being able to throw a finger-based boomerang and make things bleed to death.
Yeah.
Adam and I both found that pretty unsatisfying. We both remembered a few of our experiences from other games, and then Seth as well from World of Warcraft, where you spend, before like a big raid or something, you'll spend a good amount of time, you know, finding materials for potions, buffing everybody up, making feast tables, that sort of thing.
And that's kind of what separates, you know, the more thoughtful, more successful players from the bad ones.
Yeah.
Is they go out of their way to make sure that they always are like doing the most damage and have the best, you know, everything by making all these consumable items.
And those things are not necessary in Crashlands for just like your normal sort of run-of-the-mill gameplay.
But if you use them,
they'll help.
They'll help. Yeah. But when it comes to those bosses, the trick is that, I mean, the bosses scale with your character.
Yeah, so you never become overpowered relative to bosses.
Right. And so, but the thing is that the scaling does not take into account, of course,
all those
potions, the level of your pet, whether or not you're wearing legendaries versus normal items, that sort of thing. And so the only way to sort of gain an edge against bosses is to do this sort of more extensive work and buffing and finding out these rare items and that sort of thing.
Yeah, right. So yeah, that was a total overhaul of that entire aspect of the game.
It's almost done though, right?
It's done.
Yeah. Or it is done.
I finished it just now.
Okay, awesome. Yeah.
Just while we were talking.
Just a moment ago.
Yeah.
So we have some other fun things to add into that. We were discussing the buffalo.
Oh yeah.
Which is a small creature that you could find occasionally, which when you slay it, will give you a buff. It's a little buffalo-looking creature.
A random buff.
Yeah. And then we were thinking maybe we should have a buff aloe plant. Which
cleanses your burns.
You harvest. Yeah, cleanses your burns. We started flying off the rails, so we reeled that back.
We probably won't actually do that yet.
Yet.
Maybe a content patch.
Yeah. So that's where we are.
Yes, it's going great. I don't know, do we want to say anything about modification to the beta plans?
We'll do a blog post, I think.
Okay.
With all that stuff.
So stay, just pay attention to the blog and the forums for news on that.
It's coming.
It's all coming up.
Hold on.
We sort of... Wait, I guess I will say that all of us, all three of us, are just fucking tired of working on this game.
Yep.
And we know all of you.
It's been 2 years.
All of you are fucking tired of not playing this game.
So we're trying to close that gap.
Yeah, so our goal right now is to see how fast we can close that gap, which means probably a bunch of changing to what I had posted a few weeks ago, whenever that was, about the beta strategy.
Yeah,
so the strategy is going to be, we're going to try to compress all of this.
Instead of doing it in 3 long chunks, we're just going to be like, here's the whole game.
Yep.
You have 2 weeks.
Yep. Right.
Because most of the, basically 80% of the crazy bugs that would cause any sort of actual problems on launch will be found immediately.
Yeah.
So we want to have the game basically at a high enough quality where, from a usability standpoint, it's great, gameplay is great, and then generally does not explode.
Yeah.
Which we can easily hit within a 2-week.
Well, I mean, we're already there. Actually, we just have a few. There are a few little kinks that
gotta make sure.
Some kinks.
Right, let's hit those questions, Seth.
So, the cacti god.
Mm. Oh, yeah, so before we jump in, though, let's just remind our listeners.
Oh, yeah, podcast.bscotch.net.
Yeah.
That's where these questions come from. If you go there, you can ask questions anonymously, I believe.
Yeah, but why would you? Because if you don't, if you log in with your Bscotch ID,
then you can vote.
You can vote, and we'll give. And if you actually get a question answered on the podcast,
you get a perk.
You get a perk, which gives you one extra Bscotch ID level, and it gives you access to a little avatar.
Coffee with Butterscotch Coffee Avatar.
Butterscotch avatar. So then you'll be one of the cool kids.
Yeah, one of the few, the proud.
Yeah, because we can only answer so many questions.
The people with a cup of coffee for their picture.
Right. Yeah, and it doesn't have to just be questions. I mean, you could submit some interesting little tidbit.
It doesn't have to be questions about our games necessarily, or just, you know, just whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anything you want to hear about. This podcast is for you.
It was Christian St. Clair who recommended that I use an EPUB. Book publishing method so I can include gifs of my snowman.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
There you go.
So thank you for that knowledge drop because I had no idea that existed.
Chris right. Chance Declare.
Yeah.
Chris Chance
Very
Declare.
Nice. All right, so our first question, we have the Cacti God asks, do you have any entertaining stories about the journey to where you are now that you can share?
Entertaining. That's quite the demand.
That's pretty, yeah. I mean, we have stories. But most of them are extremely boring.
I guess so. But most of the entertaining stories just come from us failing super hard.
That's true.
In fact, I think all of them do.
Well, I guess. Well, I mean,
that's what makes a good story.
It does.
That's why people love.
So,
fail
for
videos.
Example, we were talking about this the other day with Quadrupus Rampage. We got kind of cocky with our submission to iTunes and thought that we could get through in 7 days, and so just set the release date for the 8th day.
And then that didn't happen.
And then it didn't happen, and so we got delayed, but we were like, whatever, we'll just launch on Android, and then we'll launch on iTunes next week. Not a big deal. And then we found out that if you do that, you will not be featured.
Then Apple won't feature you.
Well, you're much less likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, whoops.
Whoopsies.
Well, then there was, every now and then we get these weird interactions from players.
Oh, yeah.
That was good. Yeah. So, like, when Sam got his first diagnosis... We kind of looked at what we had, and all we had at the time was Talophite and Quadrupus. And Quadrupus was doing pretty well, but Talophite was just doing nothing at all. And
so we literally thought, $0. Yeah,
so we thought, how can we, you know, try to actually turn this thing around and make some money from Talophite? Because, you know, when you get cancer, having some extra money helps.
Mm-hmm.
So we made Talophite free. To try to build up the audience for it, and we added some in-app purchase items into it, which were like to buy coins, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
The problem was like the game was completely balanced without that at all, and it was so unbelievably easy to get coins in general that nobody really bought them.
It wasn't
anyway.
A very effective.
Also, we may have kind of hid the store from people.
We also hid the store,
so we basically just made the game free.
We basically
and you didn't put ads in at the time either, right?
No. There were we didn't know too much about that.
It was just kind of bad.
It was a bad decision overall, but
the best part.
When we went on to Reddit. Great place.
Hive of scum and villainy.
Super positive community.
Yeah. Yeah. So we went in, I think it was in the Android gaming subreddit.
One of the more positive places.
Yeah, jumped in there and basically just said, "Hey guys, we're a two-man team. One of us got cancer. And it's going to be a while before we can get our next game out as a result. So we took Talophite 2 and we made it free so that, you know, people could get it and try it and support us." And one of the first responses was somebody going, "So I paid for Talophite. Can I just have my money back then?"
6 months ago.
6 months ago, I bought Talophite. 6 months ago, I bought this game for 99 cents. So can I have my money back?
Can I get a refund?
Yeah. I mean, he did get downvoted into just a black void. but, yeah.
That was nice. That was nice.
We get a lot of that kind of stuff. Oh, there was another one that another player story. Mm. Or maybe not a player, I guess. I don't know for sure. But at one point, so we have our support system set up in our emails and... And the Bscotch robot is the thing. The Bscotch robot's name is Thingamabob, right?
Yeah,
so right. You should, if you are in Bscotch ID, you should have gotten an email from him or her, it, whatever. And at one point, I had to go like do some maintenance on the web on the, that email that actually sends those out. And it's a, you know, it's an inbox only. We don't check it.
We don't check it.
We don't check it. And it says that at the end of every email, it's like, this is a, you know,
do not reply. Oh, yeah, the email itself says, I am a robot.
I'm can't, too dumb to reply.
I can't read. Yeah. Don't send me messages.
Right. So what we, so what I found when I went in there was really hilarious, because it was like, it was this mixed bag of really angry people and super confused people that were, which makes sense given, you know, that, that that's what that email was. And so I was flipping through some of them were just yelling nasty things at us and that kind of thing. But the funniest one was there was a guy that had a, that literally had an argument with Thingamabob. because Thingamabob had an auto reply, and the auto reply again says it, like, it gives you links to our FAQ and that kind of stuff, so that the idea being, if you're sending an email to it, that you probably need some information about where you should go instead. And so it's an auto response. And so the guy, I guess he didn't like the fact that, so he signed up for Beescotch ID, got the registration email, and then got pissed that that email came to him. Mm. So he replied immediately. Naturally. And he was like, take me off your email list. He wasn't even on an email list yet. Take me off your email list. And then, of course, Thingamabob auto replied and was like,
so he's like, I want to stop getting emails. Why do I keep getting emails? Right. And
so Thingamabob auto replied and was like, hey, I'm a robot, etc. again, right? Here are the places you can go if you actually need help, whatever. And he replied to it again. And he was like, fuck you. I don't want to get any of these more emails. And it went through and it did it three more times.
And he didn't pick up on the fact that these emails were coming instantly.
And they said the same thing every time. And they were from a thing called the Beescotch robot.
Right.
But anyway, that was one of my favorite moments.
Man,
that's pretty good.
What else was there? There must be other stuff.
There's plenty of stuff. But yeah,
it's mostly all the stuff that sticks out is like mixed negative things, basically.
Well, yeah, it's mostly like us flailing around and screwing up a lot.
Yeah.
We could probably like write a whole book of all the things.
We got a funny one from, I think, the last podcast I edited, which was that we found out, we were listening to it after I'd put it up, and
you clipped all the ends off of it.
There's like halfway through, for some reason, the silence truncation, which basically shortens the sort of gap between conversation pieces, for some reason just started clipping off the end of people's words.
It got a little aggressive.
If you listen, I think it was maybe episode like 14 or 15.
Yeah,
something like that.
Towards the end, like your brain has to do a lot of work to actually put together what that last word was supposed to be. But we were listening to it, and Seth was like, is that, I think it's cutting off the words. You're going to need to go back in and redo that. And I was like, yeah, no.
Nope, it's done.
I have art to do.
Reminds me of that scene in Harold and Kumar when they, like, they step out the door, right. And he's like,
I left my phone.
Well, we've gone too far.
That's how I feel.
Whenever I do some work. That's kind of how Sam just operates
all the time.
All in every domain. Yep.
I've gone too far.
Okay, so we have a question from Christian St. Clair.
Christian.
Thanks for Sam.
Thanks for the
email. Maybe it's Chris Chan.
Chris Chan.
Like two.
Chan is the middle name.
Yeah. I think it's Chanced.
Or Chris Chanced.
Chris Chanced Clair. So yeah. Chanced, I guess, is the verb.
Chanced, and yeah.
Sam, is there a reason you prefer Inkscape to other programs? Such as Illustrator.
Yes, there is. One, it's free. Two,
it was pretty obvious, which is the free.
Yeah, the freeness was
the freeness.
The freeness.
Freeness.
Huge freeness on the Inkscape. I've been around a lot of...
It's just pendulous freeness.
I've been around a lot of programs, but oh my God. It's just the biggest freeness you ever seen. But no, the important thing was that when I first started doing art, that I was so terrible at it that I didn't know if I was going to be doing it for a very long time. So it was important that I didn't spend any money. And so Inkscape was a free version of Illustrator, which I had spent one class period with, essentially, in college. And Illustrator always just struck me as strangely obtuse.
Overly complicated.
Figuring out how to do stuff.
Yeah, it suffers from what every Microsoft product does, right? Which is that almost every single user wants to do the exact tiny number of things with a Microsoft product. And then they give you a jillion things you can also do. And make it so that power users have to use fucking UI elements to get to them, even though they'd rather just hack it, right? And then everybody else doesn't even know what they are.
Yeah. So I found Illustrator to be basically cumbersome in that regard.
Yeah.
And Inkscape's UI I thought was even cleaner. Just way cleaner, made a lot more sense. And it's got a nice little community behind it as well, who answered a bunch of my sort of early, really stupid questions about how things work.
Plus, you get to feel like a hipster.
Yeah, because yeah, like, well, it's also like, and screw the man.
Yeah.
And it's an open platform, so you could hack it if you needed to. Yeah. You know, like.
And they have, I mean, their XML file for all the configuration of it lets you sort of add and remove whatever hotkeys you want and that sort of thing. So I've done a lot of, we'll call it modification of my own sort of brand of Inkscape.
You don't want to call it hacking?
No, it's not hacking.
It's open source, man.
It's just modification. You can hack it you want. Some modifications. And so it's worked out really, really well for me. And the other big thing was that Illustrator, when I used it, would have a really hard time once you approached, I don't know, like when I'd work in it for 3 or 4 hours, you know, producing a bunch of vectors.
Really slow.
It would kind of start slowing down. And something about it handling a file of that size, a vector file that size, I would just have a really hard time. And because I tend to be very lazy with my art, all of the games up until like the end of Quadrupus, actually, I finally had to split the file. All of the art for a game usually actually sat in one Inkscape file, which made it completely inoperable.
It would take like 18 gigs of RAM to open the
Which file. I was fine with, and it acted as a security measure for me. But if I tried to do that in Illustrator, it just wouldn't work.
Only the most truly hardcore of PC owners can open Sam's Inkscape file.
Speaking of which, are those Inkscape files on Git? Are those being versioned? Okay, good.
Sure. Of course.
also, Night of Penguin was like, you keep on talking about how like all the eggs are in one basket, and I'm like, wait a second.
They're no longer in one basket because Crashlands is so damn.
They're
enormous.
In a few duplicated
baskets.
Basket. So I love the crap out of Inkscape. I think it's the best thing.
Yeah, it's good. I think
sliced bread.
Yeah, I think it, you know, people get this sense of if you pay a shitload of money for something, then it's just probably better.
Yeah.
Which should be the case, but it's not.
Yeah. It's definitely probably,
like,
not
if
the
you're
case.
Like a if you're like a serious power user and like went to school for graphic design and that kind of stuff. In that kind of case, probably Illustrator, without a doubt, just like Photoshop versus GIMP, right?
Right.
It's going to have way more features. It's just that the vast majority of users don't need those features.
Yeah, you just don't need them. But the other important thing to note is that if you take a class, a lot of the larger software institutions offer very highly, highly discounted or even free versions of their products to people in the classes because it's sort of like handing out, you know, meth on the school ground. Yeah. Like, you want to get everybody using your program. They know it. And then that way, if they want to go from Illustrator to Inkscape, they're just going to be complaining about how Inkscape is different.
Yeah.
Which is essentially the only complaints I've actually seen lobbied against it. Yeah. People are like, this does things differently than Illustrator.
When I talk to GIMP. Yeah, when I talk to people about Game Maker, that's their complaint. It's like, I don't get it. I'll just look up a damn tutorial, you know?
It's a different program.
Yeah. The way I see it, too, is like, just based on having used both programs, I feel like Inkscape is like, it's like IHOP, where I'm like, I'm hungry, I go there, and I leave so goddamn full, and I'd say I'm satisfied.
Well, you might also vomit everywhere.
Sure. I mean, there's some consequences. But I got what I came for, you know? But Illustrator's like, I'm hungry. I see a super expensive French restaurant. I'm like, sure, I'll go in there. And they
bring you food. They don't tell you how to eat it.
And they put a tiny cube of beef on my plate. Mm. And they're like, it's been drizzled with... they like all these stupid things they're saying. And then I put the square in my mouth, and then I'm done. And that's it.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much how that goes, I think. All right, so Cacti God, again. This dude is prolific.
Yeah.
he already kind of answered this. He asked, are there any secret items in Crashlands that not many players will find?
Oh, but that not many, though.
Yeah, and I think, probably.
But there are, at the moment, there aren't any, like, super hidden Easter eggs, I don't think.
Well, there are.
Did I not find them? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some hidden fishing-related things.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Or, yeah.
Okay, so there's some rare drops.
There's that. There's also going to be, you know, there's just a small smidgen of outposts that are out in the world. I mean, the world is so big.
You were liable to not stumble
upon. Actually,
that's
true. Yeah. There was one of them that I only found because Sam was like, have you found this one yet? Mm-hmm. And I was like, no. And he looked at my map and he was like, oh, it's just got to go west a little bit. But I managed to do the entire, like, finished everything in the game that you need to finish all by going southeast.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what'll end up happening is, and this is kind of a cool little byproduct of that, is if you talk to somebody who plays the game, they'll be like, "Oh, did you get this blah?" And you're like, "No, what the hell is that?" And they'll go, "Oh yeah, right. if you just go over here and, you know,
right.
there'll be a guy who
But does you will this. You will generally know in the game that you're missing something because the crafting stations have they show you a little, you won't know what it is, but they'll show you a little shadow
of a recipe. And just to torture the completionists, we have in the compendium, which is sort of like your, it keeps track of all your statistics and your quests and your science that you've done on all the plants and stuff. It tells you how many recipes you've unlocked in the game out of the total possible.
Oh, right.
Which right now we're up to 499.
Hey.
So we're one off of 500.
We'll be well over shortly.
That way you'll just know exactly when you're missing something.
Mm. Yeah.
And then you'll be tormented by that fact.
Yeah.
All right. So, I think we got time for one more.
Sure, one more question. Let's do it.
Hit one or two.
We didn't even do a podcast last week, so
we got to do 6 hours today.
Yep, 6 hours. Here we go.
So,
buckle up.
Spectral Hunt asks, "What are your favorite games of all time?"
Your favorite games.
Technically, he said "your," but there's an apostrophe in there, so I wanted to make sure I got his message across. You know, more accurate, grammatically.
As intended, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what are you, Sam? What are your favorite games?
My favorite games are, I think, Binding of Isaac.
That has been your jam.
Still just like, that's just some good bread and butter on a good Saturday afternoon. And then some League of Legends, in which I destroy people.
Yep.
While wearing the happiest face of all. Did I mention that a guy wished cancer on me yesterday when I played? 2 days ago when I played? Which, of course, is 2 days after I got out of the hospital, so I just said as much.
Yeah, hey. For those of you unfamiliar with online competitive gaming, a common asshole tactic of an opponent is to wish either AIDS or cancer on you.
Yeah.
If you are winning, I guess, usually.
Yeah, so yeah. I had destroyed this I had destroyed this man, and with his pride, you know,
You crushed his whole soul. Yeah. His whole sense of being was just a mangled specter of what it was.
He reached out, you know, in his hurt, and offered me a thorny rose, and he said, "Why don't you go get cancer?" And I said, "Funny story about that, buddy guy. I just got back from a 4-week stay in the hospital, so maybe you should shut the fuck up and not say that to people ever."
Then he followed it up.
He followed it up, and he was like, "Oh, dude, I'm so sorry. My dad actually died of cancer." And
yeah, he's trying to build a rapport with you now.
Well, what kind of a guy is? Has a family member die of cancer and then go wishes cancer. And then go wishes cancer on other people.
It was weird, but I was like, you know, I was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss, you know. If you ever need to talk to anybody, just, you know, I'm here." So we had this weird moment after he wished cancer on me.
Yeah.
That's how I play games on the internet.
That is pretty weird.
Be positive, people. Be positive.
Man. Yeah, I tend to avoid competitive multiplayer games because of that.
Yeah.
But
what are your favorite games?
But my our favorite
you
games.
Are favorite games.
I have, I mean, my still of all time, actually, yeah, okay. Of all time, there are two.
Mm-hmm.
And then a whole bunch of that are close, but not, I mean, they're like a different level, right?
Sure. So,
first favorite game of all time, Super Mario World for the SNES.
Mm.
Without a doubt, favorite game of all time. Next favorite is Half-Life 2.
Yes.
For sure. And after that, then in terms of like my favorite multiplayer games just to play with people that I know, not other random humans, are now Rocket League.
Mm-hmm.
That thing's fucking great. And Left 4 Dead 2.
Ah, oh, I love that.
That's a good collection.
Yeah. Can you believe that one time you came home from college, we played Rocket League, and you came home as well, and we played Rocket League, or we played Left 4 Dead.
Oh.
We played Left 4 Dead in Mom's basement. I believe for like 3 days straight.
Yeah,
you guys both left for college, but I was still at home, so I continued playing, and I got the zombie genocidist achievement, which is
when you kill like
53,000 something zombies.
Well, and you know what? Here's the best part about that. So we were there, we were playing Left 4 Dead, and our grandfather came over, and he's a farmer, and our parents both grew up on farms as well. And
he doesn't have a computer, know how to use them.
Yeah. Yeah. But so we were talking, we were sharing, you know, childhood stories over dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And a story came up where our mother was talking about how when they were going to have dinner, they would go outside and grab a chicken by the head and put their knee on its neck and rip its head off. Yeah. And that was how they killed it.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, this happened.
We don't want to give your kids a knife.
Yeah.
Right?
So you got
to... No, knives are dangerous.
Yeah, it's dangerous. And then within like 15 minutes, we go down, we start playing Left 4 Dead, and our grandpa comes and looks, and he goes, gosh, don't you think this is bad for children? Like, it's going to teach them about violence and stuff? So...
Says the guy who had his daughter rip the heads off chickens.
Ripping the heads off chickens as a five-year-old.
Yeah.
So I guess it's all a matter of perspective.
It is.
Yeah. Yes.
It really is.
Yeah. Seth, what about you? What are your favorite games?
Well, my favorite games is...
Mm-hmm.
I'm just probably going to go by playtime. Because there's some games that I probably like a lot.
I have a Kerbal Space Program, though.
But yeah, I think I have about 330 days of game time in World of Warcraft.
That's true.
That's a lot.
Over the past 10 years. It's like a tenth of
my... When you say days, he means 24-hour days.
I mean literally 24-hour chunks.
Yeah, you play that for more, like,
since it came out. I will say the first 300 of those were accumulated over the first 3 years. Then it tapered off pretty rapidly.
Yeah, because then you had games to make.
Yeah. Once I had a purpose in life, I stopped. Kerbal Space Program, I think I have 400 hours playtime in that thing. But, you know, once I kind of landed on everything, that was kind of the end of it. Right.
Yeah.
I tried doing things like building jets and then flying the jets to other planets and then trying to fly jets around.
Mm.
And then I did that and then that was done. So,
right.
Then otherwise, I guess maybe Tribes. Tribes mm-hmm. Ascend.
Yeah, Tribes would have been, but it just kind of died out too fast.
Yeah. That's yeah, it did, but it's coming back.
True fact.
They're patching it, they're updating it. But yeah, speaking of zombie genocidist, I believe I have over 100,000 kills in World of Warcraft.
Wait, of other players?
Of other players, yeah.
Man,
I have the of the Horde title, which is what you get for killing 100,000.
What fraction of players have that?
It's very small one.
It's Seth and one other dude.
Yeah. Yeah. So
holy bejesus.
But I mean, so maybe our listeners don't know this, but I used to run a guild of 500 people, and we would go and attack alliance cities.
Called Total War.
It's called Total War.
Some of you may have been in it.
Yeah. it was a mad, crazy time. Possible. Yeah, every now and then I run into somebody who remembers my screen name from 10 years ago from that.
Wait, what was your screen name?
It was Stas.
Stas, same.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a mini celebrity in MMO land.
Yeah. So, so those are my few. All right, Beans my name.
What is his name?
Beans is his name. Mm-hmm. Beans my name. Asks,
maybe Beans is a verb here, though.
Maybe his name has been beansed.
Yeah. he's requesting that we beans his name.
What does that mean?
Well, let's beans it and get on with it.
Right.
The alpha trailer for Crashlands shows Linux as a target platform. Do any of the Butterscotch team run Linux? How are builds being tested? And what distribution are you targeting? So this is kind of a cascade of questions, each of which is predicated on the previous one. And we'll just start with the first one and say no. We do not run Linux. The end.
The alpha trailer for Crashlands shows a lot of things.
Don't trust it.
That will not
be a cruel mistress.
But Linux is something we want to do, but because of how homebrewed distributions generally are with it, we're not declaring it as a thing that we're doing officially.
Yeah, well, so our main worry with it, because we've actually seen this from other developers. So the only thing this makes sense on is Steam, right? Because Steam actually has Linux as an option. And on Steam, there's something about like 1%, a little under 1% of players have Linux as a platform. And that's not even that they have that as their only platform.
Right.
That's that they have that as a platform. So it's a tiny, tiny fraction of the market, which doesn't mean we don't want to get to them. The problem, though, and what we've seen from other developers, is that the Linux community is basically really fractured among all these operating systems that can be very, very different from each other, as any Linux user will know. And then further, to actually get that to work with like an NVIDIA graphics card or things, there's all this kind of clever hacking that kind of has to be done.
It's a support nightmare.
Yeah, and we're, because we're not going to support computer related issues anyway, but that's not going to stop people from trying to get us to support it,
right?
And from leaving negative reviews, all kind of stuff when things don't work.
Yeah, we don't want a half acid.
Yeah, we don't want a half acid.
We want a whole acid.
And right. so we may, that would be, that at release would definitely will not be on Linux. We may play around with that to see if that would be an option and like specify Ubuntu or something.
I think a good metric would basically just say, okay, so Linux is 1% of the PC Mac Linux pie, right? Yeah. And so if we were to increase our money by about 1%, mm-hmm. how much would that have to be before it's worth our time,
right?
I mean, if we launch Crashlands and we only make $1,000, right. If we're like, is it worth 10 more to take a couple weeks and get it working on Linux?
Yeah. And the answer will be no.
Yeah, so it just really just comes down to how well it does up front, and then we'll know kind of what to expect.
Yeah. From but at launch, definitely not. And if we do end up doing it, it'll be basically we'd probably only test it on Ubuntu, and then maybe this fancy SteamOS thing, since that's a Linux based platform. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll do one last one for real this time.
Okay,
this is from Hermes,
the god.
I believe he had the wing foots.
He did have the wing foots. He was the best.
A disease.
Yeah. The wing foots.
The wing. He came down with the wing foots. Yeah. Bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
So Hermes asks, I'm going to read this verbatim.
I do.
Hello, cool stem punk guy that fawned out about you guys at IndiePopCon, and I rarely like your games so far. So my question for you is, what was each of your guys' favorite part of the con? And do you think going was a success for you guys?
I tried to get my
inflections to kind of match the punctuation and everything.
I'm going to go on a limb and say that was typed on a phone.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to put money on that.
And just for so everybody out there knows, this is what you all sound like when you type to people on phones.
That's right. And here we're now saving it for the future. Anytime you type one to us.
I think my favorite part of the con was, besides actually meeting people, you know, meeting fans of our games, which there were actually, we had like four people come up over the weekend and they'd be like, oh, I play Flop Rock.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah, one kid was, he was a quadrupus player.
And he was pumped.
He was like, ah!
I mean, that was like weird and awesome to see because we usually don't get to see that. But I think meeting the guys from Trinket Studios, who are making a cooking game called Battle Chef Brigade, was probably the best thing.
Yes. Yeah. And they absolutely crushed us in the skateboard competition.
They did. They won a huge longboard, whereas we got a shortboard.
Yeah. We got to practice our skateboarding for next time.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my favorite part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was, the competition, I think, was weird.
It was weird.
Here's how it went. It was called
Indie Reboot Game Awards.
The Indie Reboot Game Awards. Yeah. So they selected something like 10 judges, something like that. Some of which were people who were, you know, involved in, like, they're YouTubers, they're involved in gaming.
Or
some
podcasters.
Some of which, I don't know. I don't know who they were.
One group of whom was definitely super racist and super sexist.
Yeah. Yep, there was that.
They might have gotten kicked out of judging.
I think they did.
They got kicked out of judging.
Among the creepiest interactions I've had.
There were a couple other judges who just didn't get around to judging all the games.
Yes.
Our game missed a couple judges. They just didn't play it. And then there were no categories. So the games that ended up in the finals, there were three games that ended up in the finals. It was Crashlands, which is a top-down, crafting-driven, sort of Skyrim-like experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then...
With cartoony graphics, right?
With cartoony graphics.
Yeah.
Cartoon violence.
Right.
Crazy humor. Then we have this very sort of deep, ambient puzzle game called Relativity.
Yep.
Yep.
A
3D puzzle game.
Which is like a mind-bending, insane, yet amazing thing, but absolutely nothing like Crashlands.
Right.
Not even remotely similar.
In every way a thing could not be like Crashlands. Yeah. That's how it was.
And then there was a third game, which was by Trinket, which was the Battle Chef Brigade, which is a side-scrolling action platformer / puzzle game involving cooking.
Yeah, which is drawn in an anime style,
hand drawn.
It's amazing
artwork.
Yeah.
So if you were to take three games and like get three games that were about as different from one another as possible, this would be like a really good trifecta.
Yeah.
And then the competition was, which game is the best? So how do you take three things that literally have no points of comparison and then pick a winner? But we were super pumped that Trinket. So Trinket won the grand prize. Mm-hmm. So
the longboard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The longboard.
Longboard games. plus $10,000.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
was oh, yeah. which was awesome.
I forgot about that.
Which is awesome because like because they're still a ways out from launch, yeah. And so I think that was really awesome. Helpful for them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, otherwise the con was cool. That was also our first time demoing a game.
Yeah.
And we learned a lot, including make sure that you plan on having people play it.
Yes. We didn't plan on that.
Yeah.
And then we Seth like, had to program the game.
We were like, this is dumb.
As we were sitting there, and that was incredible.
Yeah, so the next time we go to a convention, we will make sure we do that. And it's weird, too, because for games that are more long form and like have a slower learning curve and slower pace and stuff, it's weird to have people like filter through single file and sit
and
down
and play your
and
game.
Be like, oh, I'll sit down and play this for two
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah.
So our players ended up playing on average for like 20 minutes mm-hmm. each, which is good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we learned a lot. We'll definitely go next year.
Heck yes.
Well, we got a free booth next
we got
year.
Yeah, because
part
we were
of our prize package.
Yeah, because we were in the finals, we get a double size booth.
Yeah,
or at least a bigger one.
What are we gonna do with all that space?
Put a bunch of more cardboard furniture.
Yeah,
in there.
Yeah. We brought cardboard furniture, and it was sweet as fuck. So we'll maybe get a cardboard couch, cardboard rocking horse, cardboard.
Wait, do they have a cardboard rocking horse?
They have a rocking chair.
Not a cardboard horse. Hammock.
I'm sure we could ask him to build a rocking horse.
How about a rocket horse? Ooh. Cardboard rocket
and
horse.
It might explode.
Yeah.
Actually.
Okay, so that is... I think that's that answers the question.
Yeah. Although I want to know, though, would a rocket horse have rockets on both sides that would fire alternatingly so that it would just like go faster and faster in a rocking motion?
Yeah.
Oh, frontward, backward facing?
Yeah. So it would just be like... It would just go faster and faster and faster and faster?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Until your parts come off,
and then it would just have it would have one on the side that would fire randomly,
just like right directly on the side.
Yeah,
so it like scoots you. it's like those
your head's just whipping back and forth, and then just sideways
scooting.
It probably should have rubber on the bottom too, just so it makes a screeching noise as it slides across the floor. Yeah. Somebody make this.
Actually, it just needs to have rockets like just all over it, and all of them fire completely randomly.
There you go.
That's what it is.
And a then, rocket horse. It's an omnidirectional.
And
then
it would be like the normal, horse. You know, Buck and Bronco things, right? That you try to stand for 7 seconds.
Well, plus part of the fun too is you have to make sure not to get burned.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't let your legs cover up beneath the jets.
Stay away from the nozzles.
Yeah. It reminds me of all those when we were growing up. We go down to Missouri to get some fireworks because they're illegal in Iowa,
and then we bring them back.
Then we bring them back to Iowa and shoot them off. And we get those ones that like they have like the tanks and stuff that would drive. Right?
Oh yeah.
So they have like a little rocket in the
back.
And they go, and they had all these kinds of. They had like every kind of conceivable configuration of a few rockets they could come up with. So we just need to scale that up
to put
a human on it.
What are those rocket engines? The Estes rocket engines?
Yeah.
We get like the G's or the F's or whatever. The
big ones.
Yeah. Just line them up, put some random timers, maybe use an Arduino, you know, to trigger that shit.
Randomly.
Boom. That's a fun toy for children of all ages. Yeah. All right, you guys. Thank you for listening to Coffee with Butterscotch. This was episode 19. Important to note, it's prime number.
Prime number podcast.
And don't forget, you can find us on podcast.bscotch.net. We're now on Stitcher.
Apparently,
Stitcher is one of the big things that people use to listen to podcasts.
People do stuff with it,
I guess. So you should leave a. You should definitely leave a review on Stitcher. And can you leave reviews on SoundCloud?
You can comment.
You can leave comments. We haven't been getting a lot of comments. We need to get more comments.
Yeah, that would be cool. And we're also on iTunes, which apparently is the main place people find podcasts. Yeah. Although, I'm not sure anybody's finding ours through iTunes. But if you do, if that's where you listen to us, you should also leave a comment there and give us a rating.
I guess it's important to note, people don't find things through iTunes.
They do when it's already been found a million times.
Exactly.
Yeah. So help us get found a million times.
Once we hit that million, we're good to go.
Yeah.
So
we'll take it from there.
Yeah. And like we mentioned earlier, if you want to ask questions for next week's podcast, just hit up podcast.bscotch.net and also vote for your favorite questions and we will answer them.
Yes.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Goodbye.
Peace.